Well, good morning. I trust you're having a good weekend, a long weekend, and that you're enjoying some time off from work. Today is a public holiday in South Africa. It's to celebrate Workers' Day, and I'm going to be talking about what the Bible has to say about work. But let's have a word of prayer first. Lord, as we come to your word again today, as we think about the subject and just realize just how much of our lives are taken up by this matter of work, we just pray, Lord, that as we investigate the word, help us, Lord, to find out and achieve balance in this area, and Lord, understand what your word has to say about this. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, I preached this message a number of years ago and thought it was good to remind us again of the subject of work. Of course, the public holiday, Workers' Day, probably has its foundations in kind of communist thinking, but I believe it's important for us to recognize that, friends, work is part of the biblical ethic, part of what the Bible has much to say about the subject of work. And while, you know, communist thinking has perhaps kind of dominated this area for a long time, and socialist thinking dominated this area, the reality is it's much more of a biblical subject than we would ever hope to kind of understand. So I want to see what the Bible has to say about work. Well, first of all, let's think about the origin of work. Folk, many think that work is a curse, but actually, I want to remind us that God is a worker. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, right at the start of creation, it says, on the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing, and so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he has done. Jesus himself said in John chapter 5 and verse 17, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. And Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Friends, work has its origin in God. Work is not something that is bad. Work, friends, is something that is good. It's productive. It helps us achieve things. It makes the world work effectively. It gives us purpose. It gives us a sense of well-being. Friends, work isn't an anti-God thing. Work is very much part of God's plan and God, part of God's purpose for us as human beings. There are many who kind of think that, you know, we spending too much time working. We should be kind of, you know, spending all these hours, you know, just running off in holy little huddles. But no, friends, part of God's creation, part of God's plan for us as humanity was the reality of work. In fact, the second thing we learn about the origin of work is that work was given even before there was sin in the world. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 expands on that, because it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. In Genesis, the end of Genesis chapter 1, it says, then God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Friends, one of the first things God does with man, with humanity and humankind that he had just created, is put them in the garden. There was work to be done. Work is not something bad, friends. Work is part of God's plan and part of God's purpose for us as people. And when one thinks about how much time we spend working, friends, the reality is that if we're not enjoying what we're doing, very soon it'll feel like there's no purpose in life. God created work before there even was sin in the world. But the third thing we need to understand as we consider the origin of work is that sin has affected our work. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam had listened to Eve and eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, it says, then he said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since it is from there that you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you are to return." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. Friends, we don't know exactly what happened there or exactly what it was like before humanity was kicked out of the garden. But the one thing we can learn from this passage, friends, is that work has become more difficult, particularly working the fields. Of course, we're living in a very different world from the world of Genesis, which was predominantly an agrarian society. Of course, we're living in an information age. We even moved beyond an industrial age. But friends, the reality is sometimes work can be hard. People are expected to work unbelievably long hours. And the sad reality is that's even true for today, friends. Work has become such a dominating feature of people's existence that, friends, it overwhelms who we sometimes are as people. It doesn't allow people to fully live out the purposes of God because sometimes people's work demands far more from them than it was originally intended for them. But let me remind you that even although work is difficult now, we're even going to work in heaven. If you think that you're just going to go to heaven and it's there's nothing more to do once we get to heaven, this is what it says in Revelation 22. "No longer will there be any curse," the curse that's on the ground. It says this, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him." So friends, who's his servants? Where are his servants? We're going to be serving God for the rest of our lives. How are we going to do that and what that's exactly going to be? I'm not sure, friends, but it's going to be going back to the kind of Genesis experience where what God gave us to do was a joy and a pleasure and fulfilling and had purpose. And obviously that'll happen when we enter into eternity again. So friends, work has its roots in God. Work has been affected by sin, yes, but friends, work is still part of God's plan and God's purpose. And for those of us who have the privilege of having work, we should rejoice in that. There are many in our country and many in this world who don't have the privilege of work. They don't have the capacity to go and earn an income. Friends, our statistics in our country are horrific. And so for those of us who have the privilege of being able to work, we should rejoice in that. Of course, we need to be reminded, friends, that God has a plan for us in that process as well. Work, friends, because it comes to us from God, secondly, is sacred. It's a sacred institution. We shouldn't just take it lightly. Well, how do we know it's sacred? Well, first of all, the skill to work is given to us by God. In Exodus chapter 36, when Israel were leaving the land of Egypt and going into the promised land, and they were to build a tabernacle. And it says this, so Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Friends, it's God who gifts us with abilities. Yes, we may have studied at university. Yes, we may have learnt a skill from somebody more skilled than us. But friends, it's God who gives us those gifts. God gives us the capacity to learn. God gives us the capacity to understand. God gives us the skill to be able to do things. Some people are good with their hands. Some people are good with their mouths. Some people are good with their minds. Our friends, God is the one who skills us. God is the one who gives us the capacities that we have, and we should rejoice in those. Of course, we can hone them to the best of our ability, but friends, we should never lose the fact that God is the one who gives us those skills. Even work itself is a gift from God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, while not much kind of wonderful truth comes out of the book of Ecclesiastes, there are some truths. Solomon writes, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, he said, I see, is from the hand of God. And then further on in Ecclesiastes 2:3, verse 22, he says, so I saw that is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Friends, God has put you in a job. Make the most of it. You know, sometimes people complain about the work that they have. But the sad reality is, friends, we spend so much time at work, so much time doing things that we have to do, that we might as well just enjoy it, friends. It's a gift from God. Solomon said that. He said, I can see this is from the very hand of God himself. Just ask somebody who can't find a job just how wonderful work is. Friends, there are many who would love to have a job If we have one, we should rejoice in that. We should do the best we possibly can with the opportunities God gives us. Well, we're so disappointed when I see people just kind of, you know, who kind of think that their job is to go to work, not to do work, but to go to work. Friends, work is the very gift of God. As you achieve what you've been employed to do, friends, it brings satisfaction. It not only brings satisfaction to the person that you're working for, it also brings satisfaction to your soul that you're doing something that is meaningful and something that is productive, can in the end mean something and have something of value. It's a sacred thing. Don't take your job for granted. Don't take the opportunities that you have for granted, friends. God gives them to us. So what's the purpose of God? Purpose of work, I should say. Well, friend, the purpose of work, like the purpose of everything, first of all, is to bring glory to God. 1 Chronicles says this, "For the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen." Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." He also said further in the Gospel of John, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." And the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." I wonder how our attitude to work would change if we just remembered that God's watching us. Just consider what you are doing is something that is to honor God. Friends, as believers, we should be doing that all the time. Everything we should do should be to the glory of God. Work at it with all your heart, Paul says, as if working for the Lord, not for men. Friend, people quickly realize if you're not committed to what your task is, that friends, when we do something for God's glory, you'll be amazed how meaningful that is. God gets the glory. We're able to achieve something. And I kind of almost 100% certain that if you're doing it for the glory of God, God will honor that sort of attitude to work as you do that. Secondly, work, friends, is to meet the basic needs, our basic needs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13 says this, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some of you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right." Well, Paul was writing the book of Thessalonians, he was writing it to a church where a group of people believed that Jesus was coming soon. Because Jesus was coming soon, they didn't need to work. They just kind of had to Just spend time in prayer and praise of God. And so there were a group of people that were kind of becoming more and more dependent upon the church to look after them, because they were becoming kind of a little bit too spiritual for the wrong reasons. So Paul says, no, friends. Your basic needs need to be met by what you're doing. Doing it to the best of your ability. Earn an income. Stop depending upon others. Do your best to be able to achieve the task that you can be achieving. People often say to me, well, I can't find work. When I'm approached by people like that, I often say to them, you know what your job is? If you don't have a job, your job when you don't have a job, friend, is to find a job. So spend as many hours a day as you would at work looking for work. And if you can't find it after the time that you spent that, friends, then rest, God will provide to meet our basic need. Of course, the third reason God gives us work is to give as God directs. We don't work only to receive for ourselves. Friends, we work so that we can be a blessing to others as well. Listen to what is written in Acts chapter 20. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 says this, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Friends, receiving an income isn't only for your own pocket. Oh, you say, well, I worked for it, I deserve it. No, friends, as believers, we believe that God gives us the ability to receive and to work, so that, yes, we may meet our own needs, but we may use it to God's glory as well. People often ask me, how much should they give of the money they receive? And I say to them, you shouldn't ask yourself how much you should give. You should ask yourself how much you should keep. You see, friends, God blesses some with far more than others. The more you receive, it's not for more to keep. Friends, the more you receive, you need to keep what you need to live on. You need to keep what you need to depend upon as you plan for the future. But ever what God has blessed you beyond that, friend, God can use you to be a blessing to others through your giving. So fourthly, what should our attitude be towards work? Well, as Christians, friends, we need to work with a Christian work ethic. Again, let me remind you of that passage in Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Friends, a Christian work ethic doesn't work to receive the praise of men. A Christian work ethic works because they want to serve their master. They want to do the best they can to show that they are people that can be trustworthy and that has a different master in their lives. But friends, we must work hard, but work must never dominate our lives. The Bible's very clear. 6 days you'll labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day it's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your servant, nor your daughter, nor your son, nor your maidservant, your manservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. Friends, God has set a limit. God has allowed us an opportunity not to be lazy and do nothing on the seventh day, but to rest from our labors. Friends, it just is a reminder to have perspective. God is the one who is to be honored and worshiped as we reflect on all that we have done. Even God rested on the Sabbath. Did God need to rest? Was he tired? Of course not, friends. God established an eternal principle that as humans, as people created in his image, we should follow him and fill our souls and our lives with the strength we need to do the work that he has given to us. One final thought. What value does work have in relation to salvation? Many people say, I'm working for my salvation, friends. But let me remind you that our work can achieve nothing good when it comes to salvation. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, I do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. Friends, our works achieve nothing good when it comes to salvation. Why? Because, friends, salvation is by grace and grace alone. Listen to what Ephesians says. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. Work has value, friends, but work can't earn you salvation. Salvation comes through Christ and only through what Christ has done for us. Don't trust in yourself to get to heaven. You can do nothing good in your own flesh, friends. Put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus himself. Friend, as we work, if we have work, we should be grateful for it. Be thankful for the work that you have. If you don't have work, friend, let's pray that God will create a country where people can find opportunities to work. Friends, that's the greatest need in our country at the moment. We need to pray that God would help our leaders to find a way to provide economic well-being for our people. Let's pray that God would give them wisdom. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, for those of us who have the privilege of work, we thank you. Help us, Lord, never to take it for granted, but to do the best we can to bring honor and glory to your name. For the many millions, Lord, even in our own country, that don't have the privilege of work, again, we pray that you give our leaders wisdom in knowing how to create an environment where it's possible that work can be created for everybody. Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, we pray against the spirit of corruption and evil in our country. Pray that you would give people the capacity to use the finances to the glory of God and for the benefit of people. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, God's given you a job. If he hasn't, continue to pray that he would provide a way, make it possible for you to be able to get back into the workplace. In Jesus' name, amen.